Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Dementia Australia National Symposium Series 2020 was all done online thanks to COVID-19 in regarding to the conference, Zoom. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with the CEO of Dementia Australia, Marie McCabe. Marie, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you, Trevor. I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. You're down there in Melbourne, Victoria. Look, thinking of you guys. A different world we're living in, aren't we?
We certainly are. We're all locked up here and we are very envious of the beautiful environment that you are all getting to enjoy in Queensland.
Sorry to rub that in, but yes, here in far north Queensland, we are still treading carefully and softly, but we've got more freedom than you guys. So, yeah, thinking of you guys. Look, a fantastic conference symposium that happened for Dementia Australia. We're talking a good load of people that tuned in. 3,000 or 5,000 to 8,000. Is that right? Check the numbers with me, please, Marie.
Trevor, it was fabulous. We had 5,000 people register, about another 8,000 view the videos online, and we had about 30,000 people look at some of the snippets of the key speakers. So it's just fantastic reach and something that it really was a benefit, actually, of doing it on Zoom, because it was originally planned in Sydney as a face-to-face conference. So was all about quality care,
yes.
And the uptake of this was amazing. So some real interest generated out there.
Well, you could say that COVID-19 was an angel in disguise. It brought more people, more numbers to the table for the conversation.
I don't think I could say that.
I know, thinking of all the people that have lost loved ones, I know. But in regards to the numbers probably may have been small if it was for face-to-face. So, look, a very important conversation, and we're talking a global conversation. So it was good, wasn't it?
It was amazing. We had people from 20 different countries, and we had international speakers that, zoomed in as well. And it really has been a platform that has worked extremely well.
Look, a very, very, like I said, important conversation, and the conference was thumbs up regarding numbers. But just give us a bit of background regarding dementia. Is dementia mainly elderly people? What ages?
It is mainly, Trevor, and whilst it's not a normal part of ageing, it is more common as we age. So about 1 in 10 people over the age of 65 will develop dementia, 1 in 3 over the age of 85, and about 1 in 2 over the age of 90. Mm. But of the 460,000 Australians living with dementia, 1 in 13 are in their 50s, their 40s and their 30s. And most people think of dementia as something of old age,
yes.
But in fact, it doesn't discriminate.
Oh, so as young as 30 years old, you can get dementia?
Indeed. That's rare, fortunately. Mm. But some of the hereditary dementias are people that are much, much younger when they develop it.
And in my understanding, dementia is a loss of memory. It can be fatal, yes?
Absolutely. So a loss of memory is what is characterised by Alzheimer's disease, but there's about 100 different types of dementia. And depending on the type of dementia you have will depend on the symptoms. So it might be that you notice a change in personality, a change in mood, or that people can no longer do the things they used to, or they start doing things that are quite out of character for them. And it is fatal. It's the second leading cause of death in Australia after heart disease and the leading cause of death of women.
And so how can we all be advocates for the change?
Well, we've got Dementia Action Week coming up, Trevor, from the 21st to the 27th of September. And one of the things around dementia, there's a lot of myths, and we want to clear up those myths, because what happens is they can lead to discrimination against people living with dementia. Yes. And as part of Dementia Action Week, each day we're going to be releasing a new tip on how to support people living with dementia. And the best way for us to support people is to be inclusive, to make sure that they're well supported, that we involve them in the things that they love doing, and that we do the same with their carers. And it's so important that carers are taken care of as well, because without carers, people won't be able to live in the environment they love and in the community that they love.
Yes. So when we're talking dementia, we're talking, we're talking COVID-19, talking isolation. Sometimes people with dementia are sort of isolated. And what we're just saying is keep that bridge, keep that connection, keep the conversation, because that will help in regard to, a good medicine for people with dementia, yes?
Absolutely, Trevor, and you raise a really good point, because with COVID-19, most of us now have had an experience of isolation.
Yes.
And whatever the new normal is for us, we will step into that. But for people living with dementia, that may not be the case. And COVID has actually had some unintended consequences for people living with dementia. So where they've not been able to engage with loved ones and their community, what we're finding through the research is that their symptoms of dementia are progressing more rapidly, and they're losing the ability to do things, and many of them won't be able to regain those abilities.
Yes. How important was the series for spreading the awareness as such?
Oh, really important. And we are aimed at, Trevor, at people working in residential aged care and community care. And what we're aiming to do is we want to support people at the front line with all of the information that will assist them to support people living with dementia. And, you know, the numbers that we got, we were astounded by, and yes, so delighted that there's such interest and commitment throughout the aged care industry to learn more about dementia.
Fantastic. What do you want people to take away from the series?
Well, really, it's about staying connected and engaged and understanding. The more people learn about dementia, the more they know, the less they will have, the less discrimination people with dementia will experience. And with discrimination, it's not intentional.
No.
You know, what happens is when we don't understand something, we tend to fear it, and what we fear, we avoid, and we don't want people avoiding people living with dementia. We want them engaged, nurtured, loved, and part of our community.
Well, with the communication, with the connection and the conversations, it can help stimulate the mind too, can't it?
Absolutely, and it's such a great point, because, you know, what we know makes a difference to reducing our risk is exercising our body and our brain, and those conversations do stimulate the brain. We learn new things, and the brain loves to learn.
Yeah, fantastic. Marie, thank you so very much for sharing. Look, all the best to you and your deadly team and your family. Look, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, my dear.
Thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to speak with you, Trevor.
Take care, Marie.
Take care, all. Bye now.
Bye-bye, dear. A beautiful yarn there, Marie McCabe. She's the CEO of Dementia Australia, and talking about the symposium, the Australian National Symposium Series 2020, all online, Zooming, and got very good numbers, 5 to 8,000 people. 5,000 people, and then 3,000 people got on board after the fact and collected information and tuned in on the conversations that happened in regard to that symposium. So fantastic. Communication needs to be strong in regarding people living with dementia, and also the education of dementia is it needs to be upheld as well. So very important conversation. Have your say, Yana Strong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Yana with Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Recurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbo Brit Media 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give us a call. Have your say. Too deadly.
Way back when time began, people came across the sand and made their homes on mountains and the plains. They lived by simple means, but their sense of home was keen. This love affair can still be seen in caves. Freedom in a strange land, a big heart and a dream. With the spirit of a demon, they were Australian and carried their torch across this precious ground.
Then the tall ships came with convicts and the game. They did it hard along the distant shore. Celtic refugees, adventurers, Chinese came digging holes, but searched for more than gold. Freedom in a strange land, a big heart and a dream, with the spirit of a demon. They were Australian and carried their torch across this precious ground. Lucky to be alive. In 1945, the shattered ones came across the sea. Since Vietnam, we took the Asian hand. They joined our extended family. Freedom in a strange land, a big heart and a dream, with the spirit of a demon. They were Australian and carried their torch across this precious ground. For 50,000 years, through sweat, blood and tears, we've built a home for all the world to see. It's all right to sing the multicultural thing, but common ground is our identity. Freedom in a strange land, a big heart and a dream, with the spirit of a demon, being an Australian and holding hands across this precious ground. We'll be right back.
folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, Too Deadly. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Number of your deadly program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yana Strong? Call that number. Yana with yours truly. Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns as BB and Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Monash University research has shown that new mothers, pregnant women, or those planning a pregnancy are showing signs of distress during the early stages of COVID-19 due to the lack of specific timely information about health and risk relevant to themselves and their family. And look, we're going to have a yarn now with Dr. Rhonda Garrard, Senior Lecturer and Research Fellow, Monash Centre for Health Research and Implementation. On the line, we have Dr. Rhonda. Very good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Yes, I'm great, thanks.
No, thank you very much for coming to the program. You're based in Melbourne, are you?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're heavily in lockdown here.
Yes, thinking of you guys, yes, and different world we're living in at the moment. And as I always said, that we don't have a vaccine for the COVID-19. We only got the rules that are in place and need to abide by them. Is the best medicine we got at the moment, yes?
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately. All right, now, talking about our conversation topic here, perinatal distress during COVID-19. So we're talking about, pregnant women or those planning a pregnancy or showing signs of distress during the COVID-19. Is that because thinking of going to the hospital, doctor checkups or what have you, and thinking of COVID-19 that and how keeping the family safe? Would that be the case?
Yeah, that's right. So, look, in the craziness of COVID-19, there were general messages put out, but not specific messages. And what we found was women who were pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant were really worried about what they should do. They didn't know if they should keep working, if they should separate from their partners, if they, you know, there was no direct messaging to them. So they had no idea what they needed to do. They didn't know if COVID was going to directly hurt their babies. They didn't know, you know, if they were a greater risk. So this information wasn't available to them. And we looked at the discussion groups where they were talking to each other and we investigated what they were talking about, and they were really distressed. So they were asking each other, what should we do? What are you guys doing? You know, we've got no idea what we should be doing here. So, you know, they were a very missed group, and you know, our message is that the health authorities need to really understand the needs of these women and give them direct, clear messages.
So, Doctor, in regards to that, you could say lack of communication, has that picked up in regard to communicating with beautiful women out there?
So it's picked up to some extent. So women know now they can have a birth partner. They know it's safe to go to their antenatal appointments. They know COVID-safe behaviours. So that messaging is really clear. But what's not that clear is the social support they need, right? Like, when you're having a baby, you need to have contact with people. You need to be in contact with family and friends. But because we can't do that directly, particularly us down here in Victoria, we need have alternate ways of doing this. So we're saying to the maternal child health nurses, we're saying to the, you know, health workers that are involved in this, make sure you have virtual groups, make sure you have virtual mother groups, make sure you are doing something effective and alternative to make sure these women are just not left alone, because we know the mental health when you have a baby.
Yes.
You know, it's a big risk time. It's a lonely time. It's a scary time.
It is.
It's the time you definitely need, you know, women around you, social support. So, you know, we're saying to health authorities, do not miss this group. Make sure you're doing something active for them. Make sure it works for them. Make sure they can, you know, do it. They've got, you know, online access to these groups, and make sure they don't get missed out. And also the mental health supports, you know. Make sure there's a mental health supports available for these women.
Well, when you look at COVID-19 and the pandemic, which we don't want, but the fact that it's here, it come at a time where we are in the 21st century and we've got the tools available in regarding communication, social media and what have you, Zooming, and it's a powerful tool, is it not?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, we know that mental health of everybody is pretty well, you know, compromised with COVID. And we know that the mental health of young mothers was already at risk. So put them two together and then make them isolated and you've got a triple whammy. So, you know, really what we're saying is just imagine being separated from your mother or from your, you know, aunties, support groups at that time. Just how distressing that is.
Exactly.
And just not being able to ask questions and check out things and all that kind of stuff. Really distressing. So, you know, let's recognise what these women are going through. Let's make sure they've got the support they need and let's pay attention to them.
And more so women who are having their first baby, if they've been through second, third pregnancy as such, then they've got a bit of a knack about them. But it could be flying solo when you've got your first baby coming up, yeah?
Yeah, look, totally, absolutely totally. But you know what? I had four kids and I've got to tell you, every time was rough.
Okay, thank you.
It actually doesn't get that much easier. You need support every time. So, but yeah, first time round, honestly, you're a rookie. You don't know what you're doing. But really, every time, every time you have a baby, it's a pretty scary time. So,
okay,
you know,
yes.
They need help.
No, thank you for confirming that. Look, fantastic. A very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing. Doctor, all
My
the best
pleasure.
To you and your team and your family. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
No worries. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Bye, Dr. Rhonda. Thank you. Dr. Rhonda Gerrard, her name is, and Senior Lecturer and Research Fellow, Monash Centre for Health Research and Implementation, and talking about perinatal distress during COVID-19, which is so true, and for women that they're having baby, and in actual fact, it's not the first time having baby. Any time you're having a baby, it can get distressing in regards to communication with family or with loved ones, especially with their mothers and their aunties, and we strongly know about that. And regarding family at the table in regard to that communication. So very important that we do that. But thanks to social media, a powerful tool. So do utilise it. And if you know someone, loved one, having a baby or pregnant, make that communication very important, especially with isolation. Have you say, you mob yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. The deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the ball around Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right through 12 in Queensland time, 11:29 here at the moment. So do add to the conversation. Too deadly.
There's a few good stories that I'd like to tell about a Christmas day. Had a hue and din at the old Grand Hotel. When again Murray Benz has taken up as host. And the old party dodges asleep against the post. We partied on old Christmas Day, and you could hear the town folks say, the copper towns are still in town and staying at the Grand. The boys were singing requests, songs they didn't know. But what the heck, everyone was drunk, so we just give her a show. There was Toby and there was Della, the Pom and Billy too. And old Reno told his jokes, some were clean, some were blue. And the blushes, they went missed. Oh, and Tommy, he got kissed by the hotel queen, who could be seen in the shape of old Plano. But the best thing that had happened on that Christmas day, I know that those who were there will back me when I say, the spirits, they were grand, for even Mick and Murray sang that Christmas day on the veranda at the old Hotel Grand.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
With the lights of the city burning deep to my eyes, as I sit at my window searching the skies for a star to hold on to and call my own. In the hole I really need home.
past years and the chances I've had, and relate my misfortune to this habit so bad. Had I just listened to the words of my dad, maybe things would look better right now.
Yeah, daily track there by John Rawlins, a Gentle Heart album, and that daily track called Shannon. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, as BB and Bumba Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, now we go to Which Way Yarning segment. That's proudly sponsored by Pecconi's IGA, Brisbane and Edmonton. And they give us a box of fruit here once a week. And healthy living, healthy lifestyle is the message we deliver to our school-based traineeship, our young ones, but for our old ones as well. And that's fruit and veggies, very important, you mob. So, yeah, have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. And come to join me from Edmonton Police, Senior Sergeant Nicole O'Rourke. Come to join me. A very good morning, my sister. How are you?
Hey, good, thank you.
Good to see you. Morning. Welcome to the program. Look, a very important yarn we got here in regard to Child Protection Week, and that is upon us, and it's a very important conversation about protecting our young ones out there who are vulnerable, and we're talking about how to keep them safe, you know, when we look at all the four different types of child abuse that's out there: physical, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, all the above. So a very important conversation, my sister.
So this week's child protection, this obviously it's Child Protection Week, like you mentioned, and really why I wanted to talk to this topic is to raise awareness that if you're seeing, as an adult, you know when things are not quite right. You can tell if a child is in need of help, and it's our job as adults to help any child. All children deserve to feel safe.
Yes.
That's every person, in fact. But children depend on adults to help them feel safe, help them to feel safe within their surroundings. So if you see anything, like don't sit back and go, oh, I'm not going to get involved, it's none of my business. That is what gets a lot of kids
in trouble,
into deep trouble. Yes. Or, you know, the unthinkable does occur.
Sure. So with that, how should a person engage as such? They should just pop the question, is everything okay here? Or?
Yeah, you can. And if you receive what you feel is abuse or that you're getting from a parent or a caregiver, that's fine. Just walk away, and you can always ring. There's Crime Stoppers, or you can call Police Link, or if it's something that is very serious and happening right now, you call 000.
Okay.
But there is always ways. And the Crime Stoppers is a perfect phone number because you can just ring and report your information, and you do not have to give any of your details.
Sure.
So if you want to still go, nope, it's none of my business, I want nothing to do with it, still report it, make the phone call to Crime Stoppers.
And stay anonymous.
Yep, anonymous, and then have nothing further to do with it. But at least you've reported it. You've done something to help
and
a child.
And look, if you've got the stomach or the courage to approach the adult or the person who's mistreating a child.
Yep.
Young person, go ahead and look at the response. And if the response is not good and ugly, step away so you don't, stay out of harm's way, so to speak.
Yeah.
But make that phone call is what you're saying.
Yeah. Don't walk past something that you know in your gut is not right.
Sure. It's
especially when it involves children, because children rely, like I said before, they rely on us to help them provide a safe environment for them.
Sure.
You know.
And look, we don't know what the relationship is with the child and the adult.
Yep.
At that point in time, but you can see the treatment that's been going on, whether it be a physically, emotional, be nothing sexual going on, of course, not in public, but if you see something, of course, you've got to report it. But neglect as well, if the person's eating, the kid's not eating, there's no drink there, but the adult is drinking and eating, and that's a bit of neglect going on.
Yeah, so neglect is a child not receiving food, adequate clothing to suit the weather, personal hygiene, their living conditions, seeking medical treatment is a big one because it goes on for health problems. They can be affected by health problems later on.
Yes.
Adequate supervision. So that is neglect of a child.
Yes.
Things that are emotional abuse are things where a child is being rejected by their parent or their caregiver, a parent or caregiver being hostile towards a child, teasing or bullying a child, yelling, criticizing, exposing children to domestic violence.
Yes.
So these are not just surface kind of issues.
Sure.
These things stem quite deeply.
We need to hit it on the head, don't we?
Yeah.
And we're speaking up for the child who hasn't got a voice really.
That's right.
You know?
Children are vulnerable in our community and we need to be responsible as adults and also be kind. We know what to do. We can get ourselves access to whatever it is we need. We need to do the same for children.
Sure.
So physical abuse covers things like hitting. Shaking is a big one with babies,
yes.
Young children and babies. Throwing, burning, biting and poisoning. It's horrible and it's gut-wrenching to talk about and to hear, but this actually does go on in our society.
Exactly. Yep.
Sexual abuse is things that are kissing or holding a child in a sexual manner, exposing a sexual body part to a child or having a child do that to an adult.
Yes.
Sexual relations with a child under 16 years of age, talking in sexually explicit ways to a child who is not developed, who is not an adult or who has not got the brain development to understand what's going on.
Exactly.
Making obscene phone calls or remarks to a child, sending obscene messages, images, touching a child in a sexualized way.
Yep.
Intruding on a child's privacy. That's pretty big. We have to honour a child that they also need their privacy in their space as well.
Of course, yes, exactly.
Parenting the child, presenting the child's private parts or penetrating or presenting them to anyone else or for other than medical reasons is not on. Things like oral sex, rape, incest, showing pornography, films, magazines, videos, images, having children pose in sexually posing manners, things like that, forcing a child to watch sexual acts or movies or videos, and child prostitution. Now, it is sickening, it's gut-wrenching. But this does go on. These are here.
Horrendous acts, but it's happening out there.
It goes
on. And we need to be the eyes and ears and the voice for these young ones.
Yeah, that's right. Know? So don't forget about I'm not getting involved or it's none of my business because it is your business. It's a community responsibility for everyone to come together to help protect a child who is in need of protection.
Yeah.
And the best way, like I said before, it's Crime Stoppers on that number, 1-800-333-000.
Yes.
Police Link on 131-444 or 000. If something's happening right now, you need to be calling, taking action,
sure,
doing something.
And look, and if you're all wrong when the police arrives,
No
big deal. Exactly. You know, I just saw something. I thought it was this. It wasn't it. That's good. The child is safe. Thank you, officer, for coming. Lady, man, sorry, on your way. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And because I was in the child protection unit for many years.
Okay.
So there are a lot of those things where it looked like something, but it was something else. But then some of those things that looked like something else were definitely things that were going on. So
exactly.
You never can tell.
Never can tell. So make that phone call. And if you don't want to get engaged, then don't do so if you're not feeling uncomfortable.
Yep.
But if you do get engaged, then also protect yourself as well.
Yep.
Otherwise, make the phone call.
Yep.
All right, fantastic. Very important day, Child Protection Week, and that's across the across this country, and no matter where you are on planet Earth, protect our children. That's what it's all about. The other thing I want to bring up is Remembrance Day, 29th of September.
Yes.
Just elaborate on that, please, Senior Constable Nicole.
So Police Remembrance Day happens every year on the 29th of September. It's for police to remember officers who have fallen in, who have sadly lost their lives.
Yep, while on duty, yeah.
While armed, yeah.
Okay, thinking of the officers. Look, it's a... It comes with the territory regarding the work that you do, you know, in harm's way, and the unexpected. You don't know what's behind the door or what's in the car or whatever case may be, you know. Mm. And we just need to be strong there. And we Remembrance Day, 29th September, and thinking of the loved ones out there who lost loved ones.
And you can, in honour of Remembrance Day, we have at all police stations, we have police remembrance ribbons.
Yes.
That you can...
I received mine from you here today.
Yes,
thank you.
You're welcome. And so you can get those from any police station or police establishment for... Mm. It's just a donation.
Sure.
So you just give a donation and then we'll you can wear your ribbon for... It's on the 29th, but...
29th September.
I wear it all the way through.
Good girl. Yeah. Yep, every day thinking of the loved ones and the men and women that put on that blue uniform. Thank you very much for sharing once again, Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke.
That's okay.
And big shout out to the Edmonton Police. This segment, Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Pecconi.
IGA. Oh, and the other thing, if I can stretch out my time for a few more minutes. Yesterday morning there was a tragic... fatal traffic accident that occurred on the Bruce Highway just south of Edmonton. So I just want to take this opportunity to remind everyone, please don't divide your attention when you're driving.
Mm.
The phone, leave the phone alone. Don't worry about the radio. If the kids are screaming in the background, just block it all out. The highway, it's not something it can be reckoned with.
Sure.
These trucks flying at the speed that they go, whether or not they're speeding is not the thing. But if they, no one will win coming up against a truck.
Exactly. All right. So we need to take care, focus on the job at hand, and in regard to the driving. Yes, yeah. And thoughts are going out to the family of the lost one there, the accident you're talking about, and so sad. And to across this nation, to all our mob out there, drive carefully, seat belts, and speeding, of course, drink driving, stop that, drugs, stop that, you know, and about protecting people in your vehicle, but protecting everybody on the road.
Yeah, that's right, because we share the road.
We do. All right, my sister. Thank you very much. All the best. You take care, Nicole.
Yeah, you
Nicole.
Take care. See you.
All right, beautiful yarn there with Senior Constable Nicole O'Rourke from Edmonton Police. Big shout out to the team out there. And Cousin Rob Hollingsworth, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, who started this fantastic yarn with the Which Way Yarning program about 4 or 5 years ago now. And he's now based down in Townsville. Big shout out, my brother. And he left town as he was going to shout me lunch. That's good, my cuss. I like the way you operate, but I know where you live. Too deadly. Have you say your mob, Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the Baldy on Trevor. Tim Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Let's have a yarn, your mob, too deadly.
Waiting for the sunlight to come rising from the sea. We lay undercover, shaded by the mango tree. We could stay forever, never leave this paradise. Swaying in the ocean breeze to the rhythm of the tide. Tomorrow, oh tomorrow, take your time. Turn the whole world upside down. Just us two. Nobody else will do. 'Cause baby,
tree.
To our bodies, just like sugar on our skin. The day is getting older, oh, but we are still so young.
Yeah, deadly track there. Mango Tree, name of that track by Zach Brown. Zach Brown Band featuring Sarah Bareilles here on your deadly program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn of yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, taking the race with 12 noon Queensland time. Love to hear from you, Mob. Give me a call. Now, the Global Drug Survey COVID-19 Special Edition was co-led by Professor Adam Winstock of University College London in collaboration with Associate Professor Jason Ferris of University of Queensland, and also co-led by Dr. Monica Barrett of RMIT University. And we have Dr. Monica on the line and talk about the edition of the Global Drug Survey COVID-19. On the line, Dr. Monica, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, you're based in Melbourne?
That's right.
I'm thinking of you guys.
Yeah, I'm in central Victoria.
Yes.
Jajawurung country, which I've been much more here than normal, as normally I commute to Melbourne.
Yes.
And I've much more been on this here in Campbell's Creek near Castlemaine, which is an excellent place to be if you
beautiful country.
To be in lockdown.
Beautiful country, exactly. If you have been in lockdown, be it a beautiful place, and that it is. So talking about the Global Drug Survey COVID-19 edition, tell us about the information in this edition and the tool that you're using it for, the reasons. Thank you.
Sure. So the Global Drug Survey does an annual survey every year at the end of the year. And as the name suggests, we look across different countries and look at changes in drug and alcohol use. So when COVID hit, we got together in April and we thought, well, this might indeed change.
Change? And has it changed?
Their drugs. Well, that's right. So what was a little bit unusual about these findings was that we... A lot of the findings have been about people drinking more, and we did find that a fair few people were drinking more. Two in five of Australians. We also found that 2 in 5 of Australians that did this survey were drinking less.
Some people were drinking less.
Well, that's right, and that was something that most surveys aren't really focusing on.
Yeah.
We asked people why they drank more and why they drank less, and for the people that drank less, they were saying that they weren't able to access the settings they normally drink in, so thinking here pubs and clubs,
okay,
and nightclubs and parties, but they didn't really want to drink alone. They weren't really keen on that. So that was one group that were drinking less, but the other group...
For them, COVID-19 was an angel in disguise. Helped them bring back their drinking.
I think that's a story, and will they continue with that when they are able to access those settings and those people again? That's something we don't know.
Okay.
So, look, people that were smoking cannabis were more likely to do that more often. So that was something quite universal, not just in Australia but around the world. So cannabis seems to be a drug that people like to use at home in isolation.
So, with the survey, asking about cannabis, which is an illegal drug, how do you do a survey with someone who's doing something illegal? Well, they're not doing it at the time of surveying.
Great question. So, with this survey, with global drug surveys, we focus on anonymity, so we don't ask people for any details about who they are, and we don't collect IP addresses or anything that could potentially identify them, because we want them to feel comfortable talking about, for example, their use of cannabis or MDMA or cocaine, those sorts of drugs. So it's not a follow-up survey, whereas a lot of research, you would need to collect people's information because you want to talk to them, you know, multiple times.
Sure.
It's
a survey that needs to be done so we can see where people are at and what COVID-19 has done and how people have been affected and how they reacted. That's what the survey is all about, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, and how they've adapted as well.
True.
So some people talked about how they were drinking or using other drugs while they were alone, but while people were co-present with them digitally. So maybe they were on a Zoom call or a video call, they're having sort of like a watch party. And so that's kind of a new thing, I think. Most people wouldn't have done that before. Sure. COVID-19. So, you know, whether it's a good thing, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're in trouble with drugs and you are alone, but you've got someone on the line, at least they might be able to help you to get...
Well, just having that conversation, it puts it front and centre for the individual. They think, well, maybe I need to act on this, you know?
That's right too, yes. So I think it's good that people are connecting in all the ways that they can, but we also found that for people that had pre-existing mental health concerns, so anxiety, depression, etc., they were more likely to say they had increased their drinking or their drug use, and then when we asked why, they were more likely to say they were using it to cope with the difficult feelings they were having. So those sorts of findings indicate at least for that group, we need to make sure we reach out to them with mental health options, which are hard, you know, telling
which is hard,
is
and probably a message to all our listeners out there, if you're feeling that way inclined, look, go for a jog, go to gym, go fishing, you know, and stay away from drugs and alcohol if that's the case, you know. Find something that soothes your mind, your spirit and your soul.
Connect with everything. Yeah, for sure.
All right, fantastic. Look, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing, Dr. Monica, and stay safe. And you're probably out of the winter because it's cold in that way, but not so much now, coming out of winter. Yeah.
We're looking forward to coming out of winter.
And come and join us up here in far north Queensland, please do.
I'd love to if you would have us, but at the moment I don't think
No, you stay there until we say yep. Thank you. All the best, Dr. Monica. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. A beautiful young Dr. Monica Barrett, her name is, Vice Chancellor, Senior Research Fellow at RMIT University, and talking about the edition, the Global Drug Survey COVID-19 edition, and experts comment from the lead co-researcher, and that was done with also Professor Adam Winstock of University College London, and also in collaboration with Associate Professor Jason Ferris of University of Queensland, and just about the survey of drugs and alcohol and how it has affected people and what was the effect because of COVID-19, hence the title, Global Drug Survey, COVID-19 edition. So there it is. Have your say, you mob. I've got about 6 minutes left on the program. Squeezing a yarn, a call here with Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry, 1-800-422-416. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumber Bit Media, 98.7 FM. Oh, we've got someone online. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, brother. Remember when Yarrawa and Palmyra were unhappy about that? I'm happy about being treated, and it was sort of felt that it was racist. And, you know, we all supposed to be in the same boat, and I said, oh, maybe some of us are in a barbed wire canoe after black boys, meaning that, you know, we seem to be doing differently. And it was shaped in a way to make us feel that we're being selfish. Living in condition, I reckon, the people that have other views and opinions, that the people are selfish. But when you look at all the states now, brother, and they are seeing it from their point of view and what's the best of the welfare of their state. And even though the federal government want everybody to come on board, but each state has seen it differently. But the thing is, the way it's framed when it comes to and those protesters down there in Melbourne, the way it's framed is people talking about their own humanity. It's not a racist thing, but we're sort of looking at it from a racist point of view.
Yes.
But I think everybody, we're all concerned about humanity. And
of course.
Before I finish, I wanted to know if we did hear from the caller from the young lady that rang up and asked if COVID-19, brother. Never heard back,
no.
Okay, thank you very much, then, brother. You're buying it, brother.
Thank you, my brother. That's someone, their regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Murray got to say goodbye, you mob, for today. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow. National Talk Black, 1 hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon Queensland time. And we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Ready Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. But I have to do that tomorrow. But otherwise, 24/7, you can text the brother. 0457140550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Check that out. Check out all our yarns, our photos and all our podcasts and all the stories that we have and all the deadly music that we've got here on the First Nation radio station. And big shout out to all our First Nation radio stations across this country, Deadly Black Network, voice for our people, you mob. Otherwise, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic. There's no vaccine for COVID-19, only the rules that are in front of us. So please do abide by them. Too deadly.
Yo, keep your head up high. It's all in the heart. One blood, one fire.
We're raised in a valley where our hearts run so free. From the land we'll always be.
Where my heart will always be. Streets and beats and families will always bring back happiness and memories. We'll always have our ups and downs, but for now it ain't really nothing to worry about.
So just chill with me
and just bounce to the sound.
You gotta make it count, cause this is how the valley gang break it down.
Now it's time for our people to stand as one. Nyungul and Yalindi and many more to come. I wanna dedicate this to our community. Wiggle, wiggle, where the rainforest meets the sea.
We're raised in a valley